Good morning, Nachum. Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Tomorrow we have the privilege of reading Parshas Ki Savo. Whoa, we are getting there, closer to the finish line. Here we go. According to the Chinuch, Parshas Ki Savo contains three restrictions for a total of six mitzvos. In addition, interestingly, based upon the Gemara, at the end of Megillah, page 31b, the Gemara Ezra instituted that we read every year, interestingly, even when they had a three-year cycle, that Bereshis took 3 years and Noah took 3 years, and it took 3 years for them to complete the total reading of the Torah. So Simchas Torah was celebrated once every 3 years. Still, it appears from the Gemara that Ezra made a takana, a provision, and instituted that every year, not on the Shabbos immediately before Rosh Hashanah, but on that second Shabbos. We don't want to go from Rosh Hashanah, or that is from Ki Savo, with its list of curses right into Rosh Hashanah. So we have a buffer. So on the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, every year we are to read the Tochacha, the list of curses that are found in this week's Parsha of Ki Savo. Basically, number one, to remind the people of the covenant that God has with the people, reward and punishment. But secondly, as a kind of important positive thinking, may the year end, Tichle Shana V'Kilolo Seha, with all its curses and misfortunes. Tochel Shana, may the forthcoming year be one of blessing for all of the Jewish people. I'd like to begin by focusing on a verse from the end of the Tochacha, from the end of the curses, whereby the Torah explains why might all these curses have befallen the Jewish people. So this is in chapter 28, Pasuk. Here we go. The pasuk reads, the reason why all these misfortunes, curses, have befallen the Jewish people, tachas, this is because lo avadita, asher lo avadita, you did not serve Hashem Elokecha, your God, b'simcha uvetuv leivav, you didn't serve your God with happiness and goodness of heart. Meirov kol. What does that mean, meirov kol? So it's interpreted usually when everything was abundant, when things were good. Instead of attributing the good to God, you had no time for God. You were too busy with your physical possessions. You were too busy making that living. You were too busy, as the rabbis tell us, he who has 100 wants 200. And so, they rove cold when things were good. You did not, unfortunately, serve Hashem. Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita has a very interesting, different interpretation, and he interprets the verse to mean as follows, that you did not observe Hashem in a state of happiness, meirov kol, when the majority of the things were good. Now what does that mean? This is the issue of the proverbial cup. Is it half full, half empty. What does that mean? Merov kol, you had a majority, most of the things in your life are good. What is your response to that? Do you say, whoa, thank you Hashem for all the good you have given me? Do I focus on the positive? Or no, I focus on that which I am lacking. I see the cup not half full. I focus on that which I don't have. Ouch. Once again, the Torah is telling us that your response to the circumstance of your life, this is what caused you to suffer these terrible curses that the Torah lists. Now, in reality, this brings us back to the book of Bereishis, whereby we remember in chapter 33, when Yaakov meets Esav after 20 years, and Yaakov presents a lavish gift for his brother Esav. So chapter 33, verse 9, Esav says to his brother, Yesh li rav, I have plenty. Okay, and therefore, you take what you have, it's yours. And Yaakov says no. In verse 11, he says to his brother, take, please, my gift, which was brought for you. And Yaakov continues and he says in chapter 33, verse 11, V'chi yesh li kol, I have everything. Now, wait a minute. This is a basic dispute, philosophical dispute, how to look at life, that the Torah is recording for us already in the days of Yaakov and Esav. Esav said, Yesh li rav, I have plenty, but I don't have enough. I don't have all I can get. As I said, you have 100, you want 200, you always want more. And Yaakov, who had the midah, the characteristic of emes, Yaakov was the one that says, Yesh li kol, I have all that I need. Yaakov realized that everything that he had came from Hashem, and what Hashem gave him, he needed, and what Hashem didn't give him, he didn't need. And therefore, if we take a step back, we can really appreciate the very basic question that to be jealous is almost to be human. How is it possible that the Torah can, in the 10th commandment, command us, lo sachmod, you are not to be envious, you're not to be jealous. Now, based upon the Ibn Ezra's understanding of this commandment, we can understand it in the following way. Everybody in this world was put with a mission, and everybody is given by Hashem what they need to fulfill their mission. Your mission requires you to have more. Your neighbor's mission requires him to have less. If your neighbor, who's supposed to have less, had more, it's very possible that even though he might think that having more would be more beneficial for him, in reality, just the opposite. So when man understands and realizes that it all comes from Hashem, then there's no room for jealousy, envy, and in addition, whoa, I really can fulfill V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. I really can fulfill, be happy for my friend. He has what I don't have. The answer is, I believe in number one, the first of the Ten Commandments, that there is a God, and He controls everything. whoa, if he controls everything, then what I have, I am supposed to have. What I don't have, I'm not supposed to have. And that's how we understand the first Mishnah in the fourth chapter of Avos, Ezehu Ashir, who is the really wealthy individual, Hasameach Bechelko, the one who was happy with his lot. If he's not happy with his lot, he's never going to, quote-unquote, be happy. But if he truly is happy with his lot, what I have, thank you, Hashem, for whatever you gave me, because that's what I need. Whoa, such a person is truly going to be the happy individual. Now, in reality, this is the first mitzvah presented in this week's parasha of Kisavo. The first mitzvah is that of the bringing of the first fruits to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, which was taught to us in Parshas Mishpatim. And in this week's parasha, we have the recitation, the Mikra Bikurim, which accompanies the bringing of the first fruits to Jerusalem. Now, interestingly, on the opening word in the Torah, Bereishis, literally four Reishis. And what's Reishis? The Jewish people are called Reishis, and the Tanchuma points out, Midrash Rabbah, that Reishis refers to Bikurim, because the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim, when it gives the commandment of bringing the first fruits to Yerushalayim and to the Beis HaMikdash, so the Torah says there in chapter 23 in Shmos, verse 19, Reishis Bikurei Admaschar, the choicest first fruit of your land shall you bring to the house of Hashem. So the Medrash goes on to say that Shvil Bikurim, for the purpose of the mitzvah of first fruits, which is called Reishis, was the world created. So Bereishis doesn't only mean when, but in the beginning, but Bereishis is for the reason of Reishis, for first fruits. Now what does that mean? To realize there's a God is relatively simple. This complex world, look at a flower, and you can see there's a God in this world, that no man can make such a flower. And go down, no question that there's a God in this world. But when man does something, whoa, to recognize that whatever man accomplishes, it is only because of Hashem's giving us the ability, whoa, that's a major concept which we are being taught. And in reality, this is found in Parshas Ekev, fifth book of the Torah, chapter 8, whereby in verse 17, the Torah warns, don't say that all of your success is coming about, kochi ve'otzem yadi, that it's my strength and my might which has brought this about. But remember, as we're taught in the next verse, Ki Hashem, Ki Hu, God is the one, Hanosin Lecho Koach Lasos Choyo. It was He who gives you the strength to make wealth. And Targum Unkelus explains this to mean that He is the one who has, listen carefully, Yoheiv Loch Eitza. He put the idea in your mind, L'Mikne Nichsen, to invest in this stock, to invest in this business, and it was His putting this idea in your mind, whoa, which accomplished what you accomplished. This week, we were all, forgive me, astonished by Mossad and its ability to target successfully almost 3,000 Hezbollah terrorists by causing their beepers, their walkie-talkies, their batteries therein to explode and thereby cause significant damage to their people who owned these devices. Wow. Now, the idea is we say hats off to Mossad for its creativity, for the professionalism, for the wisdom. But let's take the step back and realize who gave them the idea. It's very clear from the Torah. It's Hashem behind this. And just like at the burning bush, when Moshe asks Hashem, who should I say has sent me to the people? The people are going to ask me what your name is. So God says to Moshe, this is my name. And he gives them a name. You'll take a look in chapter 3 in Shemos at the burning bush. And what does God say to Moshe? Zeshmi le'olam. This is my name, my essence forever. Now the word le'olam, which means forever, is spelled choser. It's spelled without the vav. It's spelled lamid, ayin, lamid, mem, which can also be read as le'elem, hidden. Hashem is kel mistator. God is hidden. And his being hidden is what enables us to do what we need to do. And I'm going to close with a fantastic verse from Tehillim. Look it up. It's chapter 18, verse 36. And what does King David say? Vatiten li mogen yeshecha. God, you have given me the shield of your salvation. V'yemincha tisodeni. And your right hand has sustained me. Now listen to the last two words. V'anvascha tarbeni. And your humility has made me great. Now what does that mean? Explains the Malbim. That Hashem takes a step back. You don't see that Hashem was the one behind the Mossad. And therefore, whoa, at first glance, Mossad takes the credit. And the whole world says, wow, look at the nation of Israel. But really, who is the one responsible? As it says in chapter 8 of Devarim, Hashem is the one who put the idea in our minds. A very powerful parsha teaching us, look at the cup. It's always half full. Thank Hashem for what we have. And we have so much. And this is a way to go into the new year, recognizing that Hashem is the one that gives us everything. Shabbat Shalom to all.